You may have heard the story of the older woman that was a visitor at a small country church, and she walked up the steps, and a deacon met her at the door and offered to find her a seat. And she said, "I'd like to sit on the front row, please." And he said, "Oh, you don't want to do that. Our minister is very boring." And she said, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, "No." He said, "I am the minister's mother." And he said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." Well, we've said for our first two sessions, it's very important to know who you are. We said in the first session yesterday, most people don't get their identity from the gospel. They get it from a label. And society is quick to give you an identity. It will be an external identity. It will be an outside-in identity. And it will be based either on your performance or on your appearance. We will give you a label based on how well we think you look or how well we think you act or perform or provide or serve. And we'll give you that identity. And that's where most people get it. And here's the problem with that approach. Number one, it means that my identity is constantly changing due to circumstances I can't control. Because if your identity is I'm the prettiest girl in school, someday you won't be as pretty. If your identity is I have more sales than anyone in the company, someday somebody will outsell you. As I said yesterday, if your identity is, well, I'm the preacher of such and such church, someday that church will want a younger preacher. That day always comes. So if you're getting your identity from the outside in, number one, you're going to suffer the consequence of that identity constantly being changed by circumstances you can't shape or control. And number two, it means I constantly need you to tell me who I am. I am constantly needing you to say, do I still look good? Do you think I preach well? Am I getting the job done? I'm looking sideways for my identity instead of upwards. And so I'm contending you don't need a good self-image. You need a God self-image. And what Scripture says is that God wants to give you your identity. And it's not outside in, it's inside out. God never endorses an outside in approach to life change. This is the problem with all of the self-help books you buy. And they are printing 2,000 a year. But they all endorse outside in approach to identity. Now here's what the Bible says. The problem with outside in is that you're trying to fix what needs to be buried. God says your old identity doesn't need to be modified. It needs to be crucified. The Scripture says in Romans 6, don't you know all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death, and we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, baptism is God's way of saying you don't just need a few minor modifications. You don't need renovation. You need recreation. You need a new identity that is not externally imposed. It is internally implanted. You need God to get under your skin. That's exactly how He gives you this new identity. Even in the Old Testament, through the prophet Ezekiel, God said, I'll give you a new heart with new and right desires. And I'll put a new spirit in you. And I'll take out your stony heart of sin. I'll give you a new obedient heart. And I will put my spirit in you. See, changing labels is irrelevant if you don't change hearts. Do you remember what Peter promised the people when they said, what shall we do? He said, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. And you're going to receive two gifts. You're going to receive the forgiveness of your sins. And you're going to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, it's very critical because I think a lot of us struggle with this identity question because we are only living the first half of that promise. We're living a truncated gospel. The gospel didn't just promise you forgiveness. It promised you formation. That through the internal Spirit, God was going to create a new you. Not just an old you that got wet. Too many people in our churches feel like this. Well, you know, I was just an old, filthy, muddy clunker of a car until I met Jesus. And He took me to the car wash and He washed all that filth off. And now I'm a clean, old clunker of a car. No, you're a brand new car. This is not just the power of positive thinking. It's the power of being united to Christ. When you died with Christ, all of sin's claims against you were satisfied. That means you are now free to live like the new you. Again, in Romans 6, verse 7 and 11, when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So you should consider yourselves dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. This is true of all Christians. But sadly, most Christians don't think it's true. And so we walk in our old labels, even though Christ offers us new life. The gospel's never going to be good news to a lost world as long as proclaimed by people who live imprisoned by their old labels. The Bible does not say if anyone is in Christ, he will be a new creation. It says if anyone's in Christ, he is. You're born again identity. It's not a dream for tomorrow. It's a dynamic reality for today. God did something inside you when you united with Christ that you need to claim by faith and live out. Now, Satan's going to do all he can to keep you focused on those old labels. You've got to resist him by faith and step out in that new identity. It's hard to come up with a proper illustration. Recently at our church, we put in some new mechanical doors so that people with wheelchairs and other impairments can get in easily. Now, you can stare at those doors all you want and they'll stay closed. You want those doors to open? You have to walk in faith toward them. You have to believe they're going to open as you walk toward them, and they do. And I believe at some level, you have to walk out in faith believing you're a new creation. You have to live out the person God says you are, and I believe the Spirit will give you the power to continue that walk. You need to stop trying to fix who you were, and you need to start releasing who you really are. And so, how does this play out in a real practical way? I'll give you one example. My co-worker, Mike Washburn, at our church, we worked together for 20 years. Great, great man of God. And his wife is a giant, a spiritual giant. And just literally a month ago, she found a lump under her arm. She went to the doctor. They didn't think it was a big deal. Turns out it is very aggressive breast cancer. And she is in the midst of a very, very difficult battle right now. And Sharon has a blog, and she kind of daily records what's going on. And just before I came here, I believe it was on Wednesday, the day I came up here, her hair started to fall out. Some of you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. Now again, if your identity is outside in, that's pretty traumatic, isn't it? And so she went and had Mike just shave her head. She bought a wig. And I'm not making light of how hard it would be for anyone to go through this. But let me just read one paragraph of what she put on her blog that day. I've shed some tears today, not just about the loss of my hair, but the stark reminder that I'm sick. But have you ever noticed all the blessings mixed in with times of sorrow? I really see a bunch of them already. Like my great people with cancer medical staff I'm meeting, my sweet, sweet husband, my two incredible daughters. Mostly, she writes, the blessing of identity. I am not my hair or my abilities or my talents. That's not what makes me me. I'm a daughter of God. an heir to eternal life with the Lord. I'm the beneficiary of the life the Lord means for me to have here, receiving His gifts of peace, joy, and contentment. So losing my hair today doesn't mean a loss of identity. It's a bump in the road for sure, but a head without hair sends me right to the true identity source, right to the feet of Jesus. It's pretty important to know who you are. Do you get your identity from the gospel or from a label? Now open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 then. Because in this last session I want to show you how with the identity comes a new priority. That with the fact that you're a new creation comes a new vocation. So we'll read in verse 16, that verse we've mentioned several times, and then notice what follows. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and following. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so yesterday we talked about the fact that God says your new identity is saints. And we talked yesterday afternoon about the fact that we're now people of the way. What I'd like to talk to you in the time we have left this morning is, what does it mean then we are ambassadors of this new life-changing message? Because if you don't understand this, I think it will stunt your growth in your new identity. I read an interesting article a while back about a man that catches exotic fish in the ocean and sells them to people who want aquariums in their homes. And one of the most popular things he catches is baby sharks. Now, I didn't know this, but he says a shark will grow to a size proportionate to the body of water it's kept in. So if you take a baby shark and you put it in an aquarium in your house, it can grow 6 inches long and be fully mature. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because I know some Christians like that. They are the cutest little Christians because they swim around inside their church building and they never get outside, and they will never become all they were meant to be if they don't get out into the environment for which they were created to exist. See, we were saved to be sent, not to sit. I think we've got it backwards. Jesus never told the world to go to church. He told the church to go to the world. We're calling lost people seekers. Well, no, we're the seekers. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We're supposed to be seeking the kingdom. I don't think you measure a church by its seating capacity. You measure it by its sending capacity. And so that's why Paul informs these new creations that they've been assigned an ambassadorship. It's fundamental to understanding your new identity, just as it was fundamental to Paul's. Paul said, for example, in Ephesians 6, I'm in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador. But pray I'll keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. See, our new identities come with new priorities. So what does it mean now? As new creations, given ambassadorships, what does that mean for us? What does it mean when I say you are now a God-willed ambassador? Well, three things. Number one, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a citizen of one country living in another. An ambassador is a resident alien. Now, what I mean by that is he is not, nor does he intend to become, a citizen of the country where he's living. Now, we all know people living in our country that are aliens. But they're not ambassadors. In fact, they want to become citizens of this country. But an ambassador's not like that. He lives in one country, but he has no intention of becoming a citizen of that country. He keeps his citizenship in his home country. Now, Paul says in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. And so the first thing we've got to understand about this identity is that we are resident aliens. We're not home here. This summer, a terrible evil is going to take place in this country. Millions of Americans are going to be ill-housed, scantily clothed, poorly fed. They're going to struggle with infestation of disease-carrying insects, cooking outdoors, sleeping not in beds but on the ground, no air conditioning, crowded, sharing public toilets, drinking from public faucets, and they call it camping. I don't know what's wrong with these people. My definition of roughing it is a hotel with no ESPN. But Paul does use that metaphor, and he says, you got to remember, as ambassadors, you really are tent dwellers. And so again, in 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, a few verses before what we read a moment ago, he says this. We know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we'll have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself, not by human hands. Now, God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. And so, the new creation is a citizen of a new nation that's governed by God. And one of the reasons you need to learn to live listening to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. It's because the Holy Spirit has been given as a guarantee to you campers out there not to try to turn your campsite into a mansion. Ambassadors don't do that, you know. Ambassadors understand I'm only living here a short season. The pull of the flesh will constantly try to get you to turn your campsite into a mansion. And you compromise your ambassadorship when you do that. Ambassadors have a home, but they know they're not really at home. That's the first thing you know about an ambassador. He's a citizen of one country living in another. Here's a second. An ambassador is a representative of his or her ruler and people. An ambassador is to embody the values of his home country. In 2006, I had the privilege, along with some other ministers and evangelical leaders, to go to Beijing. And we were allowed to visit with some pretty high-ranking Communist Party officials about improved relations between Christians and that government. And God's done some exciting things from that visit. We'll believe in faith He'll do some more. But while we were there, one of our highlights was a luncheon with Ambassador Clark Rant. I assume he's still ambassador there. Outstanding man. He was a college friend of then President Bush's. And we went to his home. We had this elegant meal. And I sat at a table with him and learned a lot of things I didn't know about his job. And one of the things that you've got to understand about his job, he is never, ever off the clock. Ever. Ambassador is a 24/7 job. He represents you every waking moment he's in China. I thought about Ambassador Rant then last summer when they had the Olympics in Beijing. And many tourists from many nations, including ours, went to Beijing. And some of them behaved poorly. Some of them got drunk and disorderly. But that didn't make the newspaper. But what if Ambassador Rant said, you know what? I've worked 8 to 5 today. I'm punching the clock and I'm going to go out to some bar in Beijing and get drunk. You know, it'd be a scandal. It would be on the pages of all the papers of our country. We would be embarrassed. We would demand he got fired. Why? Because he represents us 24/7. He is never off the clock. He is to represent the best of what is noble and good about our country every single moment. A lot of you have not been called to full-time Christian service like I have been. But all of you have been called to full-time Christian living. There's not a moment that you don't represent the ruler that sent you as his ambassador. When you're buying groceries, when you're cut off in traffic, when the coach doesn't put your kid in the game, when the song leader sings the song you hate, when your mate is having a bad day, there's never a moment you are not to represent the values of the ruler that commissioned you. That's what Paul means in Colossians 3:17 when he says, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. An ambassador is a citizen of one country that lives in another country. An ambassador is a 24/7 representative of the values of the ruler that sent him or her. And the third thing, an ambassador is a messenger of the ruler that has commissioned him or her. In our country, we sometimes have freelance ambassadors. Typically, they're Hollywood stars. And they go to some place in the world where they disagree with the policies of whatever administration is in power. And they do their thing. And it makes for good publicity and bad diplomacy. Why? Because they're not authorized to speak for our government. Only a commissioned ambassador can speak for the ruler they represent. See, an ambassador understands, I do not speak in my own name. There's a givenness about his message that he is not to manufacture. He's not responsible for the message he gets. He's responsible to faithfully deliver his ruler's words. Just before we had had lunch with our ambassador in China, he had been sent by then President Bush to communicate a message of concern about human rights violations in China. It was not his job to dictate a response. It was not his job to compromise the message. His job was to take the message from his ruler and give it exactly as it had been given to him. That's his job. Paul understood this. Ephesians 6, he said, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And what is this message? What is this message that we as new creations have been sent to give? It is this, that our King, who has every right to declare war on a corrupt world, is making an offer of peace. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. 2 Corinthians 5:19. It's the message that changed our identity. We were once lost. We were once trying to find out who we were outside in. But we received the grace. The good news came. The Spirit indwells. We're being changed from the inside out. We've been given a new identity. We don't get it anymore from labels. We get it from the gospel. And we have been commissioned and sent with this message. That no matter the nation, no matter the situation, anybody can become a new creation. Anybody can be reconciled to God. And you see, that's why the new creation and the new vocation have to go together. It gives the message of reconciliation no power when it is preached by people that live under the old labels. What gives our message power is the fact that it is being embodied in our own lives. We are walking in faith, releasing who God is making us to be. And it is our life that gives power to the testimony to the world that this same offer is for you. You cannot separate who we're becoming from what we're proclaiming. With that in mind, I'd like to show you a video of one of the services we had at our church last August where I was preaching about some of these things. And we thought, you know, it might bless the church to see people right there that worship on the pew beside them who have become the message of new creation. So it's about 5 minutes long, but I think you'll be blessed. Watch the screens. We'll enjoy it now. We all have a story. If I was going to tell you mine, it would look something like this. Because this is who I used to be. But now, we're all people in need of rescue. We all have a story. None of us have to be defined anymore by who we used to be. We can all have a new identity. After that, we had out in our atrium tables with little 3x5 cardboard and markers and said, What's your story? How has God changed your label? And we had these strings with clothespins and said, go out and put your story up. And we had hundreds of people just rushed out and said, I want to put my story up. And so for the next several weeks, as you walked through the church, you just had all these hundreds of stories right there in our pews and in your pews of people who have found a new identity because of Jesus. We put that video on our website. It's now been seen over 500,000 times. On every continent but Antarctica, it's been shown in churches. I get emails every day from people who are desperate to have this question answered. Am I forever to be in bondage to my label? And the answer is no. Nobody has to be defined by their old labels anymore. But this world desperately needs the witness of a people who don't just say that, but who show that walking by faith in their new identity. And so I send you out as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And I'll see you soon when we get home.